shoot. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Acquitted on all charges. The man from Cranberry.
Yeah, the Cranberry.
Saul!
Hocus Pocus Out of Focus is what we're going to call this because the prosecution failed to convince the jury, and we were excited about this. And justice prevails, ladies and gentlemen. Kyle was, I guess, Rosenbaum's first unmolested minor. We're going to talk about that. Biden went in for a colonoscopy, and Kamala was president for a few hours. Did you guys feel it?
She had the nuclear cuz.
Did you guys feel it? She had the nuclear cuz. All right, we're going to talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
In Philadelphia.
The first woman president of the United States, our acting president, but I guess technically.
That's why my butthole's no longer puckered tight, and that's why I can go poop now. Ooh. Because I knew there was some kind of force happening in the world that was causing me to like clench up and be scared and keep everything.
So look what happens. Kamala Harris becomes president for a couple hours. Kyle Rittenhouse gets acquitted.
Oh,
she looks up everything.
Yeah,
she just goes to shit.
It was beautiful. Would you guys watch any of the of this week's, man? It was a whole week of what was it? 4 days of deliberation. That's a long time for to be in, you know, locked in a room. And apparently, some of the people there, for example, the attorneys had to stay there the whole time because they had to be at what 10 minutes away from. You know, because the verdict could have come at any time. But,
what do you mean? Suspense. The lawyers had to be 10 minutes away from the jury?
Yeah.
From the courthouse,
right? Yeah. Because if they would have came out, you know, let's say day one came, day two, they're like, oh, all right, they're still taking the time. All right, I'm just going to go back home. And say you live in Racine and that's, you know, 45 minutes away. And they're like, hey, we came to a verdict. Now you got to get back in your car, drive down. So you have to be within a certain amount of time. You know,
is this 24 hours a day or just during normal
court hours?
Okay. Yeah, I think they went from
that makes sense. Yeah, I
10 to 6,
9 to 5.
You know, if it was 24 hours a day, that would suck. You'd be getting a janitor's closet downstairs to sleep in.
Yeah. But look, at the end of the day, I'm glad they took their time and looked at every little thing because you know what? You want to be as impartial as possible. You look at every piece of evidence, you comb over it, make sure, because, you know, you're dealing with murder, self-defense, second, like this had a, this was a big case. This was bigger than a 17-year-old kid killing a pedophile, a sexual assault abuser, and a grandma abuser. You know what I'm saying?
A lot was at stake, right? Because a lot of people threw their head in the ring here. You know what I mean? Like everybody wanted a piece of this, whether it was the left, and their opportunity to, you know, say justice for white supremacy. I don't know how. I mean, they're still convinced that this was somehow race related, even though nobody involved in this whole thing was, you know, other than white.
Well, the way they're spinning it is they're saying Kyle killed two victims. The media is calling them victims. Two victims who were protesting racial justice. So that's why they're saying it's white supremacy. That they were protesting for Jacob Blake and he killed him. So he is a white supremacist because by proxy killing those two white guys, burning down Kenosha in the name of Jacob Blake is hurting racial justice and civil rights.
You know, what's crazy is that a lot of the, you know, cause the Twitter sphere went crazy, all sites, you know, when the verdict was read. And I'm going to show you guys at the moment that it happened. I don't know if you guys have been able to see some of the videos, but, you know, I followed this. I've been following this case just to stay up to date with it. And even, you know, I'm working, I'm listening, have one ear in, you know, to what's going on. And, you know, I was following all those lawyers who were on there. You know, I try to follow them as much as I could, but, you know, sometimes they talked over a lot of the stuff and I was like, I need to pay attention to what's going on. But they were actually pretty awesome. I subscribed and I'm gonna follow them because you know they're gonna be covering other cases and they sounded balanced. So anyway, so you know how long has this been? Two weeks of this, you know. And I was telling Tim, man, you know, I was nervous. I mean, literally listening to what was going to be the outcome of this, because, you know, I mean, like, you're following it and you want the right thing to happen, but, you know, you're like anxious. You're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And as soon as, you know, they read not guilty on all five charges. Yeah. I was like, you know, Tim sheds a tear. Me, I'm like, you know, you get emotional about this whole thing because, you know, you've been invested for, you know, and then you think about it. This kid's been there for this whole time, dude, this whole time. And then, you know, you can tell it was visual, his reaction to, you know, being basically a free man now, you know? And so I'm going to play his reaction just so we can talk about it a little bit. And then we'll get it. But again, not guilty on all those charges. And it's a beautiful day. So let me play a little bit of this and then we'll describe it to the listeners.
Face the jury and hearken to its verdicts.
State of Wisconsin versus Kyle Rittenhouse. As to the first count of the information, Joseph Rosenbaum, we the jury find the defendant Kyle H. Rittenhouse not guilty. As to the second count of the information, Richard McGinnis, we the jury find the defendant Kyle H. Rittenhouse not guilty. As to the third count of the information, unknown male, we the jury find the defendant Kyle H. Rittenhouse not guilty. As to the fourth count of the information, Anthony Huber, we the jury find the defendant Kyle H. Rittenhouse not guilty. As to the fifth count of the information, Gage Grosskreutz, we the jury find the defendant Kyle H. Rittenhouse not guilty.
Yeah, he's obviously he's overwhelmed with emotion after the last count was read, and he has trouble, you know, sitting down because, like I said, you know, this has got to be so overwhelming. And you know, in the back, the mom and his family, Thanksgiving is going to be great for them this year, you know. And I'm going to say this, you know, this kid's carrying the weight of it all, because everybody, even the president of the United States, put his 2 cents in on his case. And in the end, he won. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful day for justice. Yeah, Jeremy.
I was wondering, kind of like with the O.J. Simpson trial, right? There was a criminal case.
Yeah.
And then there was a, what do they call
civil.
It? Civil case.
Yep.
Is he subject to that as well? I mean, can
yes.
somebody come after him civilly for that?
Yeah.
I don't know if the same.
They can try.
I don't know. That's a great question. That'd be something to ask the
you no, know. They, I mean, this may not be over for him.
No, so that was the one thing. So
it probably won't be over for
so
him.
So Posobiec was on, when he was on the war room this afternoon, that's what he was saying. He's like, guys, he's like, you got to, he's like, it's good to celebrate today, but he's like, this isn't over. He's like, they are pissed.
Yeah.
Garland, Biden, the regime, all of them, they are super pissed off that they couldn't put this kid's face as, you know,
white
the poster child for white supremacy and why we got to take guns away. So this ain't over for him.
Yeah.
So he won't get jail time. I don't think he'll ever go to jail, but no. They will make his life a living hell in the civil world. Because they'll say, well, he with the protest, he got it. He stepped in the way of somebody's civil rights. They'll come up with some BS.
Well, the civil suit is not the civil suit to this is the families of the people he killed and the family of the person he injured. Those are the one. That's where the civil suit is on this.
Right.
Not the other part of it. The rest of it. Like there's nobody else coming out to say you violated, you got in the middle of this riot. That's
why they want the federal to get involved, because the federal can drop civil charges. They can make it a federal civil charge because they can say he obstructed civil rights.
Okay. Well,
that's what they're saying.
The judge already laid the groundwork with that not holding up because the curfew, thing got dropped. So that's already been, I don't think that's
when but here's the deal. Even if the federal government doesn't have a case, they can make this kid's a living hell and,
Yeah.
He ain't got no money for that.
Well, you know, after this victory, I think there's a lot of money's going to be coming his way. And not only I mean, you know, obviously, like you said, Tommy, you know, they didn't clearly want this win. But right now, Kyle does have legal recourse as it pertains to the way that the media covered him, because they labeled him a white supremacist. And so, you know, that they don't want these lawsuits to come their way. And Kyle will rain down lawsuits.
They'll settle.
I hope he
does. Settle out of court. And they've already laid the groundwork for that too, with those kids that with the Native American guy,
right?
Yeah. That it's all the groundwork's all laid. This guy, this young man, is going to make a killing with the. But did you? So I have the quote that Biden put out, saying that he says, while the verdict of Kenosha will leave many Americans feeling angry and concerned, myself included, we must acknowledge that the jury has spoken.
Well, he said that after his original remarks.
That's what I'm saying. He just, no. But he still, even in this, he even says, even in that statement, he himself is angry and concerned. And he even, I mean, like he goes on to talk about how he promises to still try and unite and not divide. What the? You just divided by making that statement alone, that you're angry and concerned.
This is what I'm saying. Every blue check liberal is all saying that it's like I'm pretty sure they all get a memo from someone to write the exact same thing, because they all pretty much write the same statement. You know, today's, you know, Andrew Cuomo, of all people, Andrew Cuomo should not be saying anything because he's like,
keep your mouth shut.
He should be in jail getting it up the ass, right?
Today's verdict
is a stain on the soul of America and sends a dangerous message about who and what values our justice system was designed to protect. We must stand united in rejecting supremacist vigilantism and with one voice say, this is not who we are. Andrew Cuomo, you need to shut the fuck up. You were sitting there sexually predatoring, sexually assaulting your aides and all this stuff. So please shut the fuck up. We don't want to listen to you. But again, what is it? What do liberals do? They stick up for other sick fucks. Okay. They are 100% now saying that these convicted pedophiles, level 5 child molester, sodomized children.
Sodomized.
They're calling him a hero.
Calling him
a hero. So you are now standing up for a pedophile. Keep doing it, please, because you know what? Hopefully, if some of these people in the GOP for the midterms grow a set of balls, they can show everybody their true colors and say, oh, they're convicted pedophile, because it's known. Everybody's saying he's a hero. This is who you think America is, that pedophilia is okay. Would you want your kids sodomized by this fucking guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on.
How is he a hero by...
Because he was protesting. Again, you got to listen to what they're saying.
He's
protesting racial justice. And he died, so he's a hero.
Threatening someone there who's putting out fires and helping with medical aid.
They don't see that. That's what everyone's forgetting.
They are consumed with their agenda. And what is the agenda?
Right.
Push leftism. And that means that if it means defending or making excuses, like Tim says, for a fucking pedophile, they're going to be on their corner all day, because they tout the line. They go by what the left is, the orders. They're marching. And our side, like Tim says, we should be as passionate on this side. And I'm starting to see it. I mean, a little late for some Republicans, you know, who
an 8-hour speech.
Well, you know, I mean, we'll talk about McCarthy, but you know, not just that, but after the verdict, you saw a lot of Republicans, you know, finally coming out in support, you know, and it's like, no, we should have been from the get-go. Our motto should have been, you know what, fuck around and find out. You know, I love some of these memes that were going out about, oh, you know, there's protests out in the courthouse. Send Kyle up to the front door. I was like, yeah. I'm done apologizing for our ideas. I'm done. Our ideas are popular, and we need to stand to it. We need to be as passionate and as outspoken as they are, because like Tim says, they fucking Biden and them were raising money for these motherfuckers who were burning cities, folks. They have no shame. In fact, they were encouraging it. You heard what's her name? Maxine Waters. You heard all of them calling for more action. And then Nancy Pelosi saying, well, they're going to do what they're going to do. Okay. All right. Well, fuck around and find out. That should be the motto of the conservative. Fuck around and find out.
100%. I mean, this is where this has been very eye-opening. And, you know, I was texting a buddy of mine. I think me and you were talking through text, Nelson, about this.
Yeah.
I feel like everything that we've ever learned or saw in this country for the last 100 years has been a complete fucking lie through this case. The reason why I say that, because you're starting to see, because a case like this, things were live streamed, but you didn't have so much focus on it. And this was a very big focus on both sides, big publicity, even though Ghislaine Maxwell should be the biggest trial right now of advertised, but it's not.
Anyway, yeah.
But with this, you're finding out how corrupt the DA is when they're doctoring evidence, when they're going, hey, like with the metadata, right? They were like, oh, here's a new video that we had and we sent it to, and you guys screwed it up and you guys misnamed it. You guys saved it the wrong format. And she's like, I put it right onto the laptop that, it went from here to here. You didn't put it in the Dropbox.
I'm gonna explain that, but before that, Tim, so one thing, and so let's backtrack a little bit, because something interesting happened this week, and that, I mean, it had people were like Tim says, the corruption, these people were not looking to find justice, folks. They had a mission. And you know, the defense said something interesting in why Lynn Wood and them had to be taken off the case. And he made a great point, and I agree with it, right? Because you're defending your client. This is not a crusade for your ideologies, which is what the left does. The left does this, and you saw it through the prosecution. Let me read to you, Jeremy, because this is the thing that angered a lot of people. Not just this, but this is one of them. So in their closing statements, the prosecution says this, Jeremy. Listen to this bullshit. And their way of framing that, Kyle was an active shooter. They were using this terminology, that he was an active shooter, okay? And they said, well, he could have taken a lot of action before he chose to, shoot and gun down these people. This is how they're wording it. And one of the things that they said, the defendant could have called 911, one. He could have yelled out. He could have fired a warning shot. This is from the prosecution. I'm not kidding with you. Okay, listen.
Oh my God.
This is what he said.
He could have went to jail for that.
He could have dropped the gun.
Reckless discharge of a firearm.
He could have dropped the gun, raised his hands in surrender. This is, again, from the prosecution. I'm not making this up.
Surrender to who?
Exactly, to the mob.
The guys that were coming running at him with a handgun.
The ones that were threatening him, saying they're going to kill him, you're supposed to surrender to them.
And then he says,
no,
this.
You're an idiot.
But he knew this, right? He says, because people were going to reason in their mind, well, that means he was going to take a beating. And you know what he said? Sometimes everyone has to take a beating.
Three people took a beating out of the end of an AR-15. Guess what happens?
Now,
fuck around, find out.
Some people are speculating, and I believe, because a lot of women were on the jury. I heard when you heard them talking, there was a lot of women, and juror 54, which was the one that was, I guess, what is that term, the one that leads it?
The foreman, or whatever.
Yeah, it's called a foreman.
So if you're a woman sitting there, and here's a man telling you that sometimes you're gonna have to take a beating before you can defend yourself, I think that statement alone probably swung some votes, dude. Because who says that shit? And he's saying it like, oh yeah, yeah. And then everybody was like shocked that he's like, yeah, sometimes we have to take a beating. And they're like, no, the fuck we don't. Fuck around and find out. I'm gonna keep saying that all night.
Well, and what else was interesting about that was, like, in their arguments, like closing arguments, this motherfucker took out the AR. He took out the AR.
Oh my God.
He pointed it at the jury with his finger on the trigger. Yeah. And I'm like,
hello?
Is he
trying Alec Baldwin? Hello? No.
In my head, I'm like, he didn't check. I mean, they checked it, but he didn't do the, but you never have your hand on it.
He shouldn't have touched the gun at all.
And I'm looking at this.
You're in a courtroom, for Christ's sake.
No, they were allowed because they needed to show it as evidence. But when he grabbed it, he's literally pointing it with his finger on the trigger. I'm like, is he trying to intimidate the jury?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, this guy is trying to put away somebody for guns and, and killing people. This guy's pointing a gun at somebody with a finger on the trigger. Insanity, bro.
Yeah.
Insanity. But anyway, okay.
So I'm going to show you another video, and the NRA, I think, or a spokesman for the NRA, talks about this, that he said, this is again, the prosecution, and this shows you their lack of knowledge, and not only their lack of knowledge, but a lot of people were saying this was deceitful. This was designed as a way to deceive the jury Because you bet, I mean, this guy has been doing this how long, and he doesn't know this about bullets. Okay. Let me play. I don't know if you heard this, Jeremy, about hollow points.
No, I think I know what you're talking. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. So I'm going to play, I forget this guy's name, but he's actually, he used to be a spokesman for the NRA. I don't know if he is anymore.
Oh, Colin Noir?
Colin Noir, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What I want you to watch is this particular video of the prosecution cross-examining Kyle Rittenhouse on what a hollow point is. And what you're about to watch is a prime example of why firearm ignorance in this country is dangerous.
Hollow point bullets are designed to hit the animal that they're being shot at. Let's say a deer, for example, and explode inside that body, correct?
No. I don't think so.
When you say explode, are you saying expand or explode? Because there are such things as exploding bullets.
Sure. Let me rephrase. Mr. Rittenhouse, what is your understanding of what a hollow point bullet would do if it were shot at, say, a deer?
I don't think people use hollow point.
So here's the irony. Jackie, this prosecution, from what I'm understanding, I honestly don't know where he was going with this line of questioning. I can only assume and guess, and I'm assuming what he was trying to do is paint the picture that jacketed hollow points, which are bullets, this is a Nosler jacketed hollow point right here, where it has an open cavity, where they're designed to explode whenever they hit a target. And if I'm understanding his tactic, is he's trying to create this image in the mind of the jury that, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse was out there running around shooting at people with jacketed hollow points, blowing stuff up, especially considering what you saw what the round did to the guy's arm. For somebody who doesn't know anything about guns, they're going to look at that and assume, oh my gosh, he was running around shooting explosive bullets. Well, in reality, he actually had full metal jacket rounds. These are the bullets that don't have a cavity in them. They're just round. Here's the irony. Jacketed hollow points are actually safer to use than full metal jackets. The reason why is because hollow points don't explode, they expand. All it does, that's why they have the little cavity, so that the bullet can expand. What that expansion does is slows down the bullet and dumps all of the energy in the bullet inside the body, as opposed to dumping that energy outside of the body. Want to know what happens when a bullet dumps its energy outside of the body? It zips through the body and finds another target to hit to finish dumping the rest of that energy.
All right. He continues to explain, and that other people have done a better job. But one thing that the reason why a lot of people are saying this was a point to deceive the jury is, hey, as he stated there. But think about if he had used the other type of bullet that pierces through. Then they could have said, well, why are you going around with bullets that pierce through and could hit another person?
Armor piercing bullets.
Yeah.
They would have called them armor piercing bullets.
Right. Yeah. And so it's a no win, you know, and this is how they're presenting. And so that's why a lot of people are saying, well, this was deceitful. And I completely missed that initially. And it wasn't until like we had done the show and then I started watching some of these videos and some analysis on this. And I'm like, wow. And it is it, like he says that there is a broad not understanding from the public about this. And then these people go into a jury and then they make a decision based on how the prosecution paints a picture, which is, and again, you're not seeking justice. You're seeking to win. And I don't know I don't think that's the job of the prosecution. They should be searching for justice, not to win cases. This is disgusting.
Yeah. This guy's another progressive communist. I'm sorry. Binger and the other guy. Dude, you could tell. You could tell that they're Antifa. They're communists. They probably were out there burning buildings. They probably had a mask on and nobody knew. You know what I'm saying? These guys are all trying to protect each other. I'm sorry. That line of questioning. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know shit about law. But you know what? That was blatant what you were trying to do. The fact that even the judge. We talked about this last week. I think on the day of the final, whatever the fuck it's called, you know, when they were giving the final argument,
the closing argument,
the judge had to get rid of the jury twice, I think, with the closing arguments, because again, they were out of line. It was so blatant that this was
why did it not go mistrial with prejudice?
It was better. It went this way. I'm pretty sure.
Well,
the judge, because now that he's fully acquitted.
Yeah. See, a lot of people were saying
he got the acquittal.
Yeah, go ahead. Tim, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, the fact that he got the acquittal, now right. Nobody has to worry about none, right? Because now right. that's there, because it's, you it's let been, the whole process go through.
Exactly. You let the process go through, and now it's not the judge's fault that he's free. It's not the jury's fault.
Right. Well,
right. It's the process.
The
right?
process was able to be seen from end to end, right?
Yeah.
There was a lot of skepticism in there, but boom, let's the true justice, you know, judge by 12, by your peers and all that with the evidence and see what happens, you know, so, let it.
Yeah. So even this case was probably, if the jury had come back with one of them was, you know, as a guilty verdict, what they're saying is that the judge may have stepped in because, again, the defense had, you know, put in for a mistrial Bullshit. With prejudice and then the evidence. And we're going to talk about this because we got into this last week and, you know, me and Tim are texting back and forth as I'm listening to this. And again, this is my area, man. I edit videos and I'm constantly inundated with this world, right? And as I'm, you know, people, they're talking about videos and comparison and you dropped it on a Dropbox and you know, the defense is claiming you didn't give us the original video. The prosecution says we did send you the video. We sent it to you that day. They were trying to prove it. And then the whole time me and Tim are texting back and forth and I'm like, bro, all they got to do is read the metadata. Read the metadata on the file and it'll tell you what time that file was created. Because the metadata don't lie. Doesn't matter how many times you copy that file over, that metadata is going to follow that file wherever it goes. And guess what? Like, I'm not lying to you. Maybe 10 minutes after I had messaged that to Tim, you know, and he goes, Tim's like, did you message that bitch? because you know, the attorneys, that's what she said. And she said it in court. And she's like, well, I'm looking at the metadata here and the file he sent me has a, it was sent 20 minutes after. Right. And then here's the kicker, Jeremy, is that then a lot of people, because, you know, the internet, you had everybody who's investigating this and this with the scrutiny on this whole case. It's been great. It's been good. You know, it's a double edged sword. But that other side, which is good, is that you had people who then went and they were looking at all the hours of video. And there was a scene there where the prosecution is sharing his own goddamn, what a fucking idiot. He's sharing his own goddamn laptop, Jeremy. And guess what was on install? People saw that and they blew up that picture. He had video compression software. He had, and this guy was claiming that he didn't know. And then people then analyze this a little bit more. And then you remember that scene where I was showing you where, you know, he's sitting there, he's standing there with a stick and the judge is sitting there watching this for, you know, 30, 40 minutes. And the guy's just pointing at where, you know, what supposedly the evidence was.
Random shit.
Listen.
Yeah.
So then he says something there funny. During that scene that people then realize that he already knew that the defense had a lower resolution video because he said, oh, well, no, that their video is, you know, it's not as high quality as ours. How did you know that? Huh? If you sent them the same file, there should be no discrepancy in the size and in the resolution.
Right.
So they lied. Right. And so then the judge realized that. And he's like, look, I'm going to take this into consideration because the way that this is looking, you know, negligence of the law and the rules prosecution is not, you're not exempt from this shit. And it looked like the hammer was going to come down on them. If the jury had come back and had a guilty verdict, they would have been in so much hot water. And I think they should, I don't understand why they don't go after them. They should. They might. Yeah. This is terrible.
I heard, I think it may have been one of the family members. Somebody asked a question about what about, you know, the way CNN and blah, blah, blah is handling it. And they made some reply along the lines of, oh, don't worry, that's being taken care of. So it sounds like they may have already
lawsuits
in the chamber ready to start. And I hope they do. Like the Nick Sandman, right? Settled out of court for millions of dollars, we can only assume, with CNN. You know what, Kyle? Get in line and take them down. Take them all down.
So there's a couple things from this. So the other reasons why this should have been, even without a jury verdict, thrown out yesterday, of all, this was what blows my mind. Yesterday, well, I'm sorry, Tuesday night, right? And it came out Wednesday in court in the beginning. So Tuesday night, a freelancer from NBC.
Oh yeah,
was following
that. The jury.
The yeah. juror, bro, the bus that has the juries back to their car, to their secure location. The dum-dum got caught because he blew a red light. And then I guess when the cops asked him, why are you going to this restricted, whatever, he said, he goes, oh, I'm a journalist with NBC. And I was trying to, you know, see the jurors.
He said that his boss it was told
paid.
Him.
Yeah, told him to go do that.
To follow the jury.
Yeah. So right there, you are now following. That's illegal,
yeah.
From my understanding.
They should have arrested him and thrown him in jail for tampering.
So,
with
so
the,
now you're jury tampering. So he got arrested and whatnot, and they were investigating the case. So yesterday, when he dropped the name, because first NBC's like, we didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
We did. He doesn't work for us. But then, boom, he dropped, I think it was Irene something, dropped her name. Uh-oh, she is the boss at where in that area, you know, for NBC. She deletes her Twitter. She deletes her LinkedIn
rewind.
Account. She deleted everything.
Rewind, because the reason she did was because the judge says this on camera. And I think the judge did this because he was livid with the media. He's been livid with the media from the get, because he's like, the way that they
should all be
this,
livid with the media.
And so, and I think that in a way, I'm speculating here, but I think in a way, this is his way of retaliating against them, because he said he named that name. And as soon as he named that name, you better believe that, you know, the Twitter, Twitter fingers was bombarding this woman with messages and telling her, you know, this is disgusting. And it is. It's a violation of Kyle's constitutional right to a fair trial, because you are meddling with the jury's deliberation. You just are. You're trying to influence this shit.
And one of the things that came out of it, one of the court bailiffs or somebody that works in the court told one of the reporters something like that. And he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, I know the guy. He's a nice guy. But he's like, guys, this has been going on for decades. This is nothing new with them following the juror. But so that's why I say a lot of what I feel like we know is a false reality, because how many things were probably tainted because this dumbass, like, they didn't get caught blowing a red light, or they paid somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everybody wants to say, oh, the system is rigged for whites. No. The system can and probably is rigged. And there's probably been a lot of outcomes that probably shouldn't have happened because of jury tampering, that we didn't have this technology and everything, you know, in the now and right here. Like, if it wasn't for independent journalists, if it wasn't for the independent journalists on the ground in Kenosha, this kid would be in jail, locked up for the rest of his life, and probably got the life death penalty. Okay. If it was up to MSNBC, CNN and all that, this kid was fucked. But because of independent journalists, which is why they want to get rid of independent journalists, because they say they do misinformation. No, we're doing it in live. You know what I'm saying? So regardless if it's left or right, if it's streaming in live, the evidence is there, homie. Once it's out there live, dude, you can't. There's no political affiliation with that, you know.
And to your point, Tim, which is, this has been going on for a while. And that, DAs, ADAs have been corrupt. And a lot of times it's political influence. They're going to go after their enemies. And we see that through the Biden administration, who uses, you know, that leg of government for their own purposes. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it had to be a young kid that has to go through hell for this. But this has shed light, similar to the whole COVID bullshit and a lot of children suffering and because of this nonsense, but it has shed light. And the silver lining in this whole thing is that it has shed light to this, and it has made people aware that how important and how unreliable technology sometimes is, and how the lack of knowledge in technology displayed by the prosecution, displayed by the defense, displayed by the judge himself, and that we're using some of this stuff to sentence people to lifetimes in jail and even death sentences. And then you start to think about, you're like, wow, how many times was this used? You know, this was evident because there was a spotlight on this shit. Another thing that the prosecution did, listen to this. This one is one of the charges. I think it was charge three. The guy, they called him Jump Kick Man, the guy who, you know, kicked Mikhail in the face. who never, he never, they didn't identify who he was. That's why they just called him Jump Kick Man, because he was, he had his face, whatever, covered up. Turns out that apparently the prosecution knew who he was. This guy tried to negotiate a deal with the prosecution for immunity that the prosecution didn't want to give him. And that's why he didn't, they didn't call him to testify. So they didn't send this information to the defense telling them, hey, we know the guy. No, they kept him out. And so then that's just another place where they could have gotten in trouble if there had been a guilty verdict. And, you know, sometimes I think, wow, this is disgusting. And how corrupt, how long has this been going on? And like Tim says, you know, MSNBC, the news media, and they're all in fucking collusion. We think, oh, no, they're acting, you know, individual people are acting. No, this is coordinated, folks. This is coordinated. And they all get, like Tim says, they all get some type of fucking memo and they all read from the same goddamn script. At first, I was thinking, no, this is probably organic. And it's just no, dude, there is forces at play here that plant seeds to perpetrate this evil on us. So, you know, all I'm going to say is I like Nick Sandman, like Heidi says, sue the fuck out of these people. Get for all they're worth.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, to that point of everybody hiding information and how corrupt things are, something else happened, right, this week. Yesterday, the two guys that were arrested for killing Malcolm Epps were exonerated. Yesterday.
What?
Yeah. So some documentary came out in 2020, but Spike Lee's been talking about this for forever. The guys that they said killed Malcolm X did not kill them. The FBI and the NYPD suppressed information at the time of their trials way back that showed their innocence.
Wow.
So again, it's one of those where this guy, Malcolm X, because if you think about everything he was saying, he actually hated liberals. He hated white people. You know, he was very, you know, he had his thing. But what did he say? The worst thing is a white liberal, because they say they're on your side, but they're trying to get, and dude, they killed them. You know what I mean? So
what do you call them?
It was a government cover up
in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. Government cover up. Once again, police cover up for the assassination of Malcolm X. Pinned it on two Muslim Brotherhood guys, you know, that were innocent. So this is why when you hear BLM, there are instances like this where they no justice, no peace, because the government has, there is that, you can quote unquote say that's systemic racism or whatever, but systemic corruption is more like it, right? These systems are corrupted. If you're one of those guys, like Malcolm X at that time, very prevalent. He was a threat to the institutions because he was opening people's minds. Yeah.
He was a threat.
He was a threat to the institution.
Yeah. I mean, look, this has been going on for a while. And, you know, until black folks wake up, until minorities wake up and realize that one, you know, they're being used. They are. They're pawns. They're pawns in this whole effort to change the system. Our fundamental systems in the Constitution are so important that when, you know, they're applied and carried out with truth and with the genuine quest for justice, I think it's revealed how sacred those documents are. And this is what they want to destroy, folks. This is what the left wants to destroy. This is what they tear at when they say, you know, when the media calls for, you know, or changing history or let's change the history books and our founding fathers are racist or our form of government was built on racism. Our institutions are innately racist. This is what they're tearing away at. And these God-given rights that are outlined in those documents, folks, those 200-year-old documents, that's what stands in the way of their agenda. And that's what we have to remember all the time. Yes, this case was about Kyle and the Second Amendment, but there's something greater at play here. And we will lose those rights if we don't fill ourselves, like we said earlier, with as much passion, with as much conviction, as zealous as they are about their communist agenda. We need to be passionate. A boy this week faced a giant when grown men chose to not get involved. I don't want to get, you know how many people here, I don't get involved in politics. And a young man faced that giant and he won. And, you know, this gives me hope. But the fight is not over. This fight's not over. It's just begun. And, you know, watching this, I'm going to give a biblical reference because I've been doing that lately. And it's a quote, actually, that came to mind when I was watching, you know, this whole week that I've been watching and as it's unfolding. And in reading all the chatter on the Twitter, you know, the gnashing of teeth and the hatred coming from the left after the verdict was read. And it's an excerpt from the book of Isaiah where God says, "Whom shall I send?" Meaning, who's going to convey the message to the wicked to turn from their wicked ways, from their evil ways, right? And Isaiah responds and he says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And I think America's is a young nation among the world. America's very young, folks. And America was called to shed light in the darkness. There was darkness in the world at the time. And America has answered that call over and over again. The world will be a darker place without a nation like ours. It's the truth. The left hates it, but it's the truth. Tens of thousands of Americans have died to preserve liberties across the world. And things are happening that are going to shed light. And me and Tim were talking about this earlier this week and events that are happening across the world, folks. And too much is at stake for us to choose to, I don't get involved in politics. It's not for me. Because as the Washington Post says, democracy dies in darkness, folks. So yep. This Thanksgiving, yes, let's be thankful for the wins that we get. But at the same time, let us fill ourselves with, like I said, righteous anger and determination. And we have a long road ahead of us. But we need to, because we need to reclaim this country back from the grasps of whatever the fuck is happening right now. I'm sorry. Curse, but
no, I mean, it's a perfect, that's actually really perfect, right? You know what I'm saying? It was a perfect quote for all this, right? We are in dark times, and the only way through is forward. We got to get to that light. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and we got to fight with all this, right? You have to fight for what's right, and even if it's meaning. Like when, like Steve, because again, Steve Bannon, he went into, he surrendered himself, went in, you know, he got out the same day. But when he got out and in his live stream, he's like, I don't care. He's like, I got people with signs right behind me, one that says coup plotter and one that says, you know, we love Bannon. And he's like, this is what this country's about. He's got an opinion. He's like, this is about the left and the right and the progressives and the alt right. He's like, I'm for everybody here. What they're doing to me, I'm gonna bring down the house, and it's for everybody. Because if they shut me up, they're coming for you next. Just because I'm their target right now doesn't mean they won't come for you. If they could do it to me, they're gonna do it to everybody, right? And I think that's a beautiful statement, because he's like, we're going on the offense now. He's like, this is gonna be the misdemeanor from hell. And you know what? Beautiful, because he's giving people the fire to fight and stand up to the Nancy Pelosi's, the Chuck Schumer's. I mean, think about it. When they censored Paul Gosar this week, okay?
Gosar, yeah.
Laura Boebert gave a speech. I was like, she did not hold back. She's like, we have people on committees that are jihadists that married their brother. And she's like, you know, married their brother. Oh, not your real brother, your other brother. And I was just like, Ilhan Omar. Yeah, Ilhan Omar. Then she's like, we have another one that tried, you know, she called that Maxine Waters without saying it, you know, so one that was, you know, trying to impact a court case a couple months ago. Then you have a guy on the House Intel Committee who slept with Fang Fang. Just like that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they cut her time off and everything, but her, MGT, Matt Gaetz, these are fighters. Gosar is a fighter. These are the people we need. I don't want, I'm sorry, I don't want the Glenn Youngkins who who's already caved. You know what I mean? He's already a rhino. He's already caved.
He fooled everybody.
But anytime the GOP says, oh, we got our lawyers there to protect it. Yeah. Can't trust the GOP, like Ron and McDaniel and them, because it's they're rhinos. But
do you hear what happened to Cheney?
These establishment Republicans need to go. I don't want the McCarthys. I don't want the Lindsey Grahams. I don't want people that are going to write a letter. I don't want somebody that at the last minute that can't keep his caucus together for the infrastructure bill. Like, you all were not in unison. All the Democrats are always in unison. Nancy Pelosi, I'll give her credit. She keeps her caucus in order. Okay. Even when AOC and all them get out, oh, and I'm going to vote against this. What did AOC do? She voted for it that couple months ago for the debt ceiling or something like that, because it didn't include something. I'm not going to do it. And she did it. She caved. Nancy Pelosi keeps her house in order. Kevin McCarthy lost all control. Yeah, he gave a brilliant...
How did 13 Republicans... This is what's disgusting about this whole thing. Yeah. 13 cowards, they need to be voted out, goddammit. And the other side, they're embracing their fucking communism. The Biden administration just nominated a Democrat to be the banking regulator and is a communist. Let me show you this interaction. This is insane, folks.
Is this about the new money they're getting ready to print that you're going to have to take all of your current cash in and to make sure you exchange it within a certain period of time? Is that what this is?
I'm going to show you this interaction. It's 5 minutes long, but it's worth every minute, because again, folks, people should be saying that, what the fucking communist, and the way that they try to word it, you know, to like, oh, well, yeah. And it turns out, oh, this is just a couple of years ago. You wrote a paper on the supporting this bullshit.
2020.
But, yeah. Watch this.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
You used to be a member of a group called the Young Communist, didn't you?
Senator, are you referring to my membership in the Youth Communist Organization while I was growing up in the Soviet Union?
I don't know. I wanted to ask you that question.
Well, Senator,
There was a group called the Young Communists, and you were a member. Is that right?
I'm not exactly sure which group you're referring to.
Well, the formal name of it is the Leninist Communist Young Union of the Russian Federation, and it's also known as the Leninist Komsomol of the Russian Federation, and it's commonly referred to as the Young Communists. Were you a member?
Senator, I was born and grew up in the Soviet Union.
Yes, ma'am. But were you a member of that organization?
Everybody in that country was a member of the Komsomol, which was the Communist Youth Organization.
So you were a member?
That was a part of normal progress in school.
Have you resigned?
From
the Young Communists?
You grow out of it with age. Automatically.
Did you send them a letter of communism resigning?
Senator, this was many, many years ago. As far as I remember, how the Soviet Union worked was at certain age, you automatically stop being a member.
Could you look at your records and see if you can find a copy of your...
Senator record? Kennedy, I don't interrupt. I almost never interrupt these, but...
Well, you always interrupt me, Mr.
No, actually, I don't. She renounced her Soviet citizenship.
Well, I understand that, but you're not the witness. She is. Would you look at your records and see if you can find a letter of resignation for me?
All she had to do was say, I renounce it right now. I renounce
Senator,
it. Why? What's so hard?
That's what he's trying to get at. That's what he's trying to get.
I was part of the Soviet population.
Yes, ma'am. I got that part. I just want to see if you look at your records and see if you find a letter of resignation. Let me tell you, I've spent a lot of time on your record, and here's what I found. Look, this is America. You can believe what you want, but we can't just let anybody be controller of the currency. You wrote your thesis in college at Moscow State University on, the title was Karl Marx's Economic Analysis and the Theory of Revolution in the Capital. but you won't send Senator Toomey a copy. You studied at university, at Moscow State University, scientific communism, which is the science regarding the working class struggle and the socialist agenda. In 2019, not 30 years ago, in a Canadian documentary, you called the financial services industry, quote, a quintessential asshole industry.
Oof.
You wrote a paper called Systemically Significant Prices, calling for the federal government to set wages, food, gas prices. In 2020, you wrote a paper called The People's Ledger, where you said we need to abolish bank accounts and make everybody set up an account at the Fed where the federal government will have access to your data.
What?
In 2020, you wrote another paper called The Climate Case for a National Investment Authority, where you said what we need to do, the oil and gas industry, is have the federal government bankrupt them so we can tackle climate change. In 2019, you joined a Facebook group, a Marxist Facebook group, to discuss socialist and anti-capitalist views.
This is the person that fucking Biden is nominated, folks. A person who's calling to bankrupt the fossil fuel industry, which people think, it's just oil, it's just gas. That's all it is, folks. It's the end of plastics. It's the end of rubber. Can you imagine any product that doesn't? They're idiotic. They're fucking idiots. They don't know how to. You know, but it's the same people who you better believe they're going to be on their phone and they're going to be like TikToking. Fucking idiots.
And in 2020, right, when quote unquote pandemic started and everybody started running into their houses, I had a conversation with a buddy of mine and we were talking about state of everything and AOC. And I brought up again, I said, there's a lot trying to push communism. You know what I was told? That would never happen. And he's liberal. That would never happen in America. That would never fly in America. So now fast forward to 2021, November the 19th. We're watching a video of a communist being nominated to run financial. Let that sink in. A communist is being nominated. I don't give a shit what anybody says. She's a communist. When you join communist groups and you write your thesis on communism and you want everything at the federal government and everything she's saying, you want this, you have a socialist communist nominee in the United States of America. They don't even hide it anymore, ladies and gentlemen. That nomination alone should scare the shit out of you because everybody thought Merrick Garland was good and look what he's doing. Everybody thought that Mayorkas, oh, he's an immigrant. He'd be good. Look what he's doing. Hey, fucking every immigrant watching videos. They get put on a bus. They go into a Catholic refugee site in McAllen, Texas. They walk in with their paperwork. They have all this paperwork ready, wristbands on. They walk in, get put on a bus, go to the airport, and they get full treatment.
It's organized.
They get to skip the lines. They get
organized.
It's organized. And so I'm watching all these pics and you finally have somebody that is a known. The other ones are just communists in hiding. You have a known communist ready to take over the financial. That's checkmate, guys. If they let this go, this is checkmate. And everybody that said it would never happen, all your accounts now are federalized. They own you. The federal government, you would now have communism, you dumb fucks, for voting for this shit. I'm sorry. I don't give a shit if I'm friends with you or not. Dumb fucks for voting for this old, decrepit, fucking piece of shit who's illegitimate. Okay? They fucking stole the election and this is what happens. This is why. And you sit there and you complain, oh my God, everything's expensive. Why? It ain't fucking Donald Trump's fault. Okay? Yeah. He's got some blame for a little bit of the printing of the money, but this communist takeover shit right now has been going on under all of our watches and now you voted for this motherfucker who stole the goddamn election. Elections have consequences. Stolen elections have catastrophic consequences. And that's not my quote. That's bad, but whatever. But it's true. They stole the fucking election. And now you have a fucking communist about to be fucking nominated to take over the fucking financial sector of this goddamn country. You dumb motherfuckers. All of you who voted for this. Dumb fucking people. I don't give a shit. You're dumb.
All right. Sounds like it's time to purchase a little Bitcoin and yeah. get out. Well, no, seriously. You purchase Bitcoin. They can't track any of that shit.
Yeah. It's the more that they push towards that, Jeremy, the more, you know, crypto's going up. I'm buying crypto, man. I'm telling you. You just have to.
Heidi was mentioning something about, it was just in my head. I just lost it. What did she mention? Trading in your dollar bills, right?
Mm-hmm.
She mentioned, is that actually, I've heard of that in the past. Are they actually pushing for that now? They want to go to new money, so you have to cash in money, and you have to explain why you have so much cash. Yeah. And
that's what she wants. That and part of Build Back Better, all this shit, digital federal currency, all this. Bad idea. The point, what makes crypto great, and this is why they're scared of it. Hillary Clinton just came out yesterday in an interview, and it was explaining why Bitcoin is a big threat to the U.S. to all currencies, specifically the U.S. currency, because it destabilizes it. It decentralizes people from control of the government, right? So with the Fed, with the dollar, that's centralized banking. When you decentralize it, power's back in the people. You know what I mean? Yes. Can it get fucked up and corrupt? Absolutely. We've seen it before. But you take the power away from the government. They can't just print money. There's nothing. There's no backing. There's no taxes. There's no money coming in once it's decentralized. And that's why they hate cryptocurrency right now.
Yeah, I tried watching a YouTube video on Bitcoin, you know, what it is, how it's just buy mined.
It.
I'm just like,
just buy it. It's easier just to buy without understanding because it's.
Yeah, get the big three, Dogecoin, Shiba, and what Shiba, what is, and then the.
No. Stay away from those. They're shit.
I bought Shiba.
No. I had Shiba at like 0.00001. So if this thing goes up, I'm a millionaire. But what I'm saying is, make sure your main investments are in Ethereum, Bitcoin. Like, make sure that's solid. The other ones are true shit coins that they can go up just as fast as they go down. You know,
they're volatile.
So just very volatile. It's like a penny stock.
They were talking not to get too far off, but the video was discussing how the first that he showed that the ledger, right? So in a centralized system, right, the government keeps a hold of that ledger and no one can modify it. But when it comes to the Bitcoin, it's a transparent ledger, right? So you can see the money come in, the money go out. You just don't know who it's coming into and who it's going out to, right? And it was kind of funny. The first transaction where someone actually bought something with Bitcoin, somebody, I guess, tweeted out, I want to trade 10,000 Bitcoin for two pizzas. Could you just imagine that? And they said today those two pizzas cost something like $46 million.
Yeah.
Based on the value of Bitcoin today, as it was when the guy traded 10,000 of them for two pizzas.
And you can make it mining. Imagine the people who were mining this shit early on.
Yeah. And he went into the mining and he's like, ooh, it's getting rough now.
It's very expensive in the US because that's why overseas, I mean, China was a big Bitcoin miner, and then they decided to stop doing it because it was decentralizing the people
their
from
money.
It was a threat to communism, right? That's why even Musk had to denounce it because they weren't going to let him sell cars over there, but whatever. But we really do need to do a full dedicated show to cryptocurrency because people need to be educated on
the hashing that happens, the mining. Why, we need to talk about it
and why it's very important because if I honestly believe if I was more involved in Twitter and politics and following like the Cernoviches and all them way back when they were pushing this, when it was dick. And even when my buddy when it first came out, he was like, dude, we should mine this. I said, get the fuck out of here. This is stupid. This ain't never going to be worth something. Right? I was like, what the fuck is a Bitcoin? I was talking to another buddy last night at dinner about it because he was there. And he's like, I remember you saying that. I'm like, boy, do I feel like a dumbass. But I didn't understand why it was so important. The decentralization piece is very important. And that's why when you have a decentralized currency, everybody can grow.
It makes governments honest. Great. Because inflation is theft, folks. That's just another way of taxation. The government prints money. It's just they're just taxing you there because everything becomes more expensive. It's that
I remember like years ago better,
zero, but yeah. Found out that was fucking almost $1 trillion billions. Extra on the debt.
I heard years ago that they were going to print $1 trillion coin, and they were going to put Obama's face on it and pay off our debt to China with it. But obviously that would destroy the value of our money and the country, the economy. But it was just kind of funny. Like, yeah, we owe China $8 trillion. Let's mint 8 of these coins, give it to the Chinese. But
think about our system. What really backs the dollar?
Nothing.
Nothing.
The government backs it.
The government backs it through taxation, right? Yeah. Because when you look at the Fed, and again, this is the, you know, because I do watch, you know, every once in a while I watch Alex Jones, depending who's on, right? Because this week, me and Nelson, man, we watched the Timcast, bro. Yo, Timcast.
That was a wild episode. Insane, oh my God.
Bro.
Big names.
Timcast, I mean, this guy is something else, man. He grew into something almost as big as Alex Jones and all that. He had an RV, right? Because he got the Starlink. So he went from wherever he's in like the DC area, I think Virginia. And he drove down to Texas because he was going to be on the Rogan show, Alex Jones. They were getting everybody together. So he had everybody in his trailer. And it started off, he was doing an interview with Blair White,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So he's interviewing Blair White and he's like, fuck, man. He's like, let me hit up Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. See if he wants to come through. I was like, fuck yeah. And then he's like, dude, why don't you hit up Rogan? So they hit up Rogan. And then they were like, hey, Drew Hernandez, the guy, mm-hmm. one of the guys that testified in the Rittenhouse trial.
Okay, yeah.
He was there. And the normal Tim Chaos crew. Oh, and Mike Malice was there,
yeah.
Holy dude. I thought we had some, you know, like you think about like the way we always kind of talk, you know, have nine that strong people. Personalities, but fuck, dude, you had all these people there. Poor Blair White, man. She couldn't get a word out until Alex Jones left to go outside to say goodbye to Joe Rogan. She couldn't get a word out. It was hilarious. But to me, that is the face of the true populist movement because it's not about politics.
Yeah.
Right. It's about populism. Populism, right? You have people that America first, right? Doesn't matter about, you know, if you're a fucking trans, you know, transgender or fucking gay or an anarchist. It's about what is great for this country. What is great for America? Fuck China. Fuck giving all this out. How do we keep it all here and grow together, right? And when you see all them together in their different ways and their different ideas, it's amazing.
It's new media.
New media.
And that's
changing the world.
I find that hopeful, man, because and they were hitting the media hard. They were talking about, you know, that they can't be trusted. And you have a podcast like that. And at one point they had like 120,000 people watching, you know, right after the Kyle Rittenhouse.
Over a million downloads, he said.
It's insane.
Right before they went into their member only. Yeah.
And you better believe that the social medias and the big media, old the legacy media, they're watching this. And they're realizing that they're losing their power. They are. And that's a good thing to see because for a long time, they have held the keys to that kingdom of the dissemination of information or disinformation, if we should call it. And for a long time, they were the credible source. And that's what they said. Oh, you didn't get that from a credible source. Well, who deems you as a credible source? Oh, you fact, you do your own fact checking that you pay this guy. Mm-hmm. And then fuck out of here. This is not.
I guess my concern about that is sure. The legacy media, whatever you want to call them, they're losing popularity. But the problem is social media is taking it up and they're just as bad.
And that they hit on that. They were hitting on them too. They were like, you know, as we're getting rid of them. And Rogan was like, you don't want them to go away. You don't want them to go out of business. You want to submit them. You want to make sure that you always have a knee on their chest. You want to give them enough life to breathe, but never enough control to do what they did.
And CNN like, or Facebook?
All of them. He was talking more about the legacy media, but with the social media, and that's where Rogan was like, it was almost like that was his red pill moment, right? When he's like, dude, he's like, I'm watching this shit.
Course dewormer.
And they're saying, yeah. And then, you know, but like in 2020, he's like with the riots, he's like, I'm watching this video and they're saying he did this. He's like, I'm watching this and this is what happened, but they're reporting it on this, you know. And then Blair White went in, and she was living in LA at the time. She's like, you know, she's like, I had friends that were that work in Hollywood, and they said that a lot of the cop cars that they were burning were prop cars, and basically like they were staging the riots. Mm-hmm. Like that's what she was like alluding to. Like they were giving the illusion that they fucked the police, but this was like all and organized, Tim, dude.
To add to that, see, we've known that the three letter agencies that shall be unnamed, we know who they are, intelligence FBI? Agencies that are there out there, and not just the FBI.
Yeah.
They've been doing this, right? This type of ops.
Sysops
across the world. And to a certain extent, they did some work. But then it gotten out of control. And now they do it because they can do it. And one of the things that this reminded me so much when she said that was this, and I don't know if you guys remember, but there was a documentary on this. I think I've mentioned it before. In Israel, when the news wanted to cover the Palestinians and, you know, say that they're being oppressed and, you know, you have, you know, the Jewish people who are going in and taking away their land and all this and all that. And look at how the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, look at how they treat them. And somebody had a camera there that was recording these people, and it was all staged. It was all choreographed for the cameras. You would have somebody, they showed it. They showed the person holding the camera, the news, the Western news media, dude. This is why they're sick. They're liars. Holding a camera towards people, and they would run. An ambulance would come in out of nowhere and with the stretchers and carry somebody and put them in. And as soon as they were out of the camera shot, person would walk out and then just go back. And then you're watching this, and the news media, the way that they had portrayed this was like, look at the calamity. Oh my God, the IDF is terrible. And this is how they were able to push this, you know, to keep the Palestinians and to, you know, this create this destabilization in that part of the world. And they've brought it home, folks. They've brought that shit here. And that's what we're dealing with here. And when Blair was saying that these were fake, and then the way that the news media was reporting, oh, look. And they were creating division because they know that if people are entertained here, you don't look at the Ghislaine Maxwells. You don't look at the elites who are doing fucking weird shit, folks. And this is where the whole Q, where I go a little bit with the Q, I'm like, yeah, there's fucking weird pedos out there. Is it a coincidence that the entire left is defending a fucking pedophile, folks? He was a pedophile. The first guy that Kyle kills is a fucking pedophile, and nobody asks, why are we defending a pedophile?
Well, like you said, it doesn't matter who they were. It meets their agenda. So he's good.
Right.
Kyle bad. He could have been raping a 98-year-old woman at the time, and they still would have painted him as a
maybe
saint.
Maybe.
So remember last year that, remember Millie Weaver had that documentary Shadowgate?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was like banned from everything. That's another one that was like.
But that documentary, everything that like Blair was saying and like a lot of the things we're seeing coming to light through, you know, with the Bannons and, you know, the Alex Jones, a lot of things that a lot of it's Shadowgate. Everything they're talking about is exactly. They're
Project
not naming names.
What's happening with Project Veritas? That's
I mean, you know what's bad when the ACLU is coming out on their side going, this is fucked up. Even other very liberal, like some Columbia newspaper or something like that, they were like, yeah, the DOJ should not be saying who is actually a journalist and who's not. That's not what their role is, you know, because they're overstepping. And everyone's going, like, did we open up Pandora's box into something that is going to bite us in the ass? Yes, you did. And that's why, once again, I say the people that elected this guy to be this fucking regime, this illegitimate president.
Yeah. And let me, the potato in chief, let me show you who they elected. Let me show you, Jeremy. You're going to love this.
Let's go, Brandon.
Watch this shit.
This is the leader of the free world, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So I'm going to explain this to you here. So somebody's giving him instructions because he's going to give a little speech here to the cameras, a little stop in some factory or whatever. And somebody tells him, hey, Mr. President, you're just going to go in there. And you're going to step on that blue line. He completely blows past the blue line. And everybody's like, I guess we follow the president. Watch this. This is funny as hell.
Parker, huh?
Yeah, the blue, and
I got to take orders.
You're here. Oh, okay.
Okay.
So again, Jim Quick is here, and he's going to either.
So once I'm on the blue marker, huh?
Yeah, the blue, and
I got to take orders.
You're here. Oh, okay.
Okay, there we go.
So again, Jim.
Oh God. So, yeah. So did you see the other
face pump?
So did you see the little thing that was going around social media about, number one, when he signed the infrastructure bill this week, and they were sitting on the White House, you know, in the Rose Garden.
Yeah.
And it was like, everyone's like, dude, this is CGI. The seal was blurred out. And you saw somebody clapping. And when they moved their hand, they were literally there. They were clapping on Biden's face. And I'm like, what? And I'm looking at this. And I'm watching it in slow-mo. I'm like,
yeah, they CGI'd
really staged this whole thing. And I'm like,
Here's
but
one.
The fact checker said it wasn't. So
bullshit. And now here's one that people have got before they were able to CGI or put in a laugh track or a clap track. Watch this. Oh God, Evan, hold on. 81 million votes, folks.
Yeah,
those are people clapping for him.
Yeah. Did you hear that speech, by the way?
No.
He's like, we got to fix this bridge because, you know, just in case you were pregnant and the bridge fell down, you would have to drive 10 miles around the bridge and the bridge is broken. And we're all
million.
Like, what the fuck is he trying to say? 81
million. 81 million votes.
not so much.
That's what we're supposed to believe, this nonsense. And that's why, you know, I go back to what's his name? Saul's Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. And it's going to be this. We have to mock them because it is a very, very effective, you know, because a lot of people watch this and they're like, oh, my God, facepalm. This is the leader of the free world.
No, he's the destructor of the free world. There's no mm-hmm. We ain't America no more. I watched the video. A fucking guy is on the highway in New York fucking shooting a gun at people on the highway. On the highway. Guy's just out of his thing like it's a fucking movie. Pop, 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 pop. You know what I mean? I'm looking at this going, what the fuck, man? We don't live in a serious country anymore.
So wait, back up a second. There's a guy, he was in a car, pulled over on the side of the road?
No.
Just a guy.
They were driving, and the guy was literally out of his car popping shots on the highway, bro.
While he was driving.
Well, somebody else was driving, but he's out of his car. Like,
he's on the passenger side.
Like, he was like watching Lethal Weapon, dude. I'm watching that. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
This is in New York, where you're not allowed to own it. But yeah, how can you do that? He's not allowed to own a gun in New York. Guns are illegal in New York.
I know, but we have a gun problem. We need more gun control because New York is out of control with illegal guns.
They're
driving all the way up to Vermont, getting their guns because Vermont and New Hampshire are allowed to get guns in there over there, apparently. Yeah. So it's really bad. So we have to really control guns because a criminal will never be able to get a gun if you get rid of all the guns in the world. Okay. A criminal will never find a gun.
Okay. Do you think so?
You know, the same guns that the NYPD send down south to get, you know, molded down, right? All of a sudden, wind up coming back right up north. They find them in the next homicide. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we talk about those gun buybacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a joke those things are.
So
people take garbage.
Welcome back, Saul. There's a little bit of good news. There's a little bit of good news.
Good news.
And this is why I will say that I think Florida might be the last beacon of hope in this country, but we got to sit and fight in Arizona and other places because we can't, if everything else falls to shit, Florida can't do it on its own. Breaking report, Disney and other Florida-based businesses are pausing their COVID-19 vaccine mandates and rehiring employees that were fired for refusing to take the jab.
What happens when you stand up?
No, they should never go back to those businesses. They should never go back to Disney. Fuck them. Let them go out of business. When you go back, that means they don't have an employee shortage. Fuck them. They did you dirty. You do not go back to those motherfuckers. Go work for a company that didn't force the vaccine on you.
Florida's a great example of what happens when you stand up to bullies. That's why I love Florida. That's why I like DeSantis. You got to stand up to these bullies. And guess what? The bully tucks tail and run. That's what happens. That's what you got to do. That's what we have to do.
Every time you punch him in the nose, you punch anybody in the nose and you break it, they're crying by default. Like you can't break somebody's nose and just move it to the side like in a movie. You know what I mean? When you punch them seriously in the nose 100 times and you break it every time, they're going to cry. And they got tears in their eyes. Guess what? You won. DeSantis has the biggest balls in the country. But unfortunately, he won't make the 2024 ticket.
Why?
Trump, honestly, when you look at every poll, Trump is blowing out everybody.
Man,
his ideas are good. He's a fighter. His ideas are good. But push came to shove, he caved every time. When they told him to fire Fauci, he did it. When they said don't lock down, he did it. When they said pardon Assange and Flynn and all that, don't listen. He caved to the D.C. swamp every time.
I think that taught him a lesson.
A lot of people around him, dude.
I think this time around, he might. I don't think he's going to make those same decisions. I think he will fight.
I will support him and I will vote for him, but he's not my first choice. DeSantis is my first choice.
How do you know he's not going to back DeSantis?
He's going to run.
Dude, Trump has got the biggest. Trump basically told everybody when he lost, he was running again. The guy's working. Dude, I never expected Donald Trump to be working out, but apparently he's working out, slimming up. He looks better now than he did in 16, bro.
You think they could throw DeSantis in as vice president?
That's probably what he's going to do.
That'd be a good call.
He would need to run on that ticket because look, DeSantis is doing a great job in Florida. If he steps into the VP role, does his lieutenant governor? I think lieutenant governor moves up. So you need to make sure that DeSantis's lieutenant governor is just as strong as him and not some rhino cuck, because everything he did in Florida is what this country needs to be doing. You follow the science and you say, I'm going to protect the old with this COVID shit, get them vaxxed, whatever, if they want, protect them, give them the monoclonal antibodies for people that get sick, make it available. And ironically, the entire Northeast and West is spiking all over the place. And oh yeah, it's COVID season, in those liberal cities. Oh, it's COVID season.
Idiots.
Well, I think it's a good sign, because right now the conservatives do have momentum right now going into 2022 and 2024. I mean, the polls are showing it. And right now the Democrats, I was hearing rumors about they're trying to figure out what it would look like to remove a Kamala Harris out of the ticket.
Oh yeah, that's the shade war. So yeah. He's been talking about the shade war for like basically since January 26th when he walked into the White House. Those two administrations have never been eye to eye, right? So Jill Biden hates Kamala Harris because if you remember the primaries, she eviscerated Joe Biden, and Jill Biden went on social media and said, I don't like the fact that she called my husband a racist and a bigot and a fucking predator.
To be fair, they call everybody that.
Right, right. But in Joe Biden's case, it's very true. They don't want to look into it. But she got really upset. So when they chose her, they didn't have a choice. She was put on them basically saying, you have no choice to make Kamala Harris your thing because we're trying to do this whole, yeah, everybody gets a chance in the world. Yeah, and
he came out and said, my vice president will be a woman.
Yeah.
And it will be a person of color or minority.
He didn't have a choice.
Whatever, right. And he kind of narrowed down his field pretty tight. It's like, well, who was left?
Right.
Because they're checking these boxes, these artificial boxes about what somebody has to be.
So Jill Biden
a competent vice president apparently wasn't
they,
on
they,
that
they
list.
They did it identity politics and it doesn't work. I'm sorry. Not right for the job. So basically some of these updates is when they gave her the border crisis, they gave her that because of what they knew what they were doing, and they needed a fall person. So that's why she's never been to the border. That's why she doesn't talk about
it. Right. And so was it Saul that said, you think she's going to run in 2024?
So they're propping up Buttigieg now. If you look, Buttigieg is getting, that's why that infrastructure bill is very big right now. And he's all over the cameras because he's the better candidate. Because if you look, you notice Kamala Harris's comm director, she resigned yesterday. She resigned. So her comm director gone. But a lot of these leaks that have been coming out, it's been Team Harris leaking shit on Biden and Team Biden leaking shit on Kamala Harris. Her abysmal fucking polling and all this being that CNN hit piece that came out over the weekend. That was from Team Biden saying, fuck you, bitch. Right. The comms director, when she left, you know, in her thing, she was like, yeah, she's like, Joe Biden is a piece of shit. Basically, he's misogynistic. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't listen. He literally railroads her administration on everything. So they've been at war. So Joe Biden, apparently, through rumor, asked if they can 25th a VP. This is the rumor that was coming out of the White.
25th right? Amendment, yeah.
Yeah, do the 25th on a VP. And they were like, I think they can, but they were coming out with different things like, oh, we'll nominate her for Supreme Court justice. That's how we can get rid of her.
Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, because one of these libs are ready to retire. So they would think that for her it would be a promotion.
What's his name?
But
anyway, I think we're going to leave it there, folks. Thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a follow, hit the like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Auf Wiedersehen.
See ya.
Donald Trump was right about Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yes.
Right from day one.
Yes.
FYI. Make sure you follow us on Getter, Instagram, all that shit. Download the podcast. Subscribe.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Send it to friends. Share it.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The
Salty Show.
.com.